Are you drowning in deadlines and feeling like you're always, and I do mean always, putting out fires? What about the constant demands of the never-ending task, the overwhelming sense that no matter how hard you work, it just seems like it's never, and I do mean never enough? Let's be real, it's just you and I, right? Is that really sustainable? Why does every day feel like a race against time with no finish line in sight? Well, in today's episode, before you decide to give up on this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, allow me to unpack exactly why I believe and feel you may be overwhelmed. And I want to show you how you can take back control of your workload, and matter of fact, just your life in general. You mind if I share a story with you? I remember when I got into project management, and it just seems like it was just an overload. There were so many demands. There was so many press. It was like it was always some type of fire that I was putting out, and it was always some different stakeholder or project team member that had a demand on me. And I was like, this is so much. This is a lot. And I failed at that time to realize about prioritization. I failed to realize the importance of understanding I'm only one person, and this is why a project is made of a team. And what I see happens, and I'm seeing it more and more, where people are getting burnt out in this thing I love called project management because of the fact of they're taking on everything. Will you be inundated with a lot of stuff? Yes. Will everything seem like an emergency? Yes. However, it's how you handle it. It's how you approach it. And I'm here because I want to be very transparent with you. I don't want you to feel nervous or scared or afraid of, oh man, I didn't know all this was happening in project management, and then you decide not to move forward. Because I don't know what type of, I haven't seen any content out there where it talks about, besides my mentor, that talks about the real life of project management, not this make-believe like everything is all good. No, I'm talking about when you got 5 emails coming in, your desk phone is ringing, your cell phone is ringing, you're getting a text message on your cell phone, on top of you getting the text, I am from whatever, Teams, Sana, whatever. How do you manage and lead all of this appropriately without feeling like it's the end of the world? And I'm going to tell you and be truthfully honest with you, there will feel moments like it is, but how do you finally get, as my grandma would say, that groove back, baby? Well, I'll tell you how you do that. We're going to unpack that of what happens when you realize I don't want to be a PM anymore. I've been there. I've done that. I've gotten the t-shirt, and I'm still standing here today telling you there's hope. So if you take a journey with me, if you're willing to get in this car with me and allow me to drive you, you can be the passenger in this journey with you. I'm going to unpack some things that'll help you put things back in perspective for you that will actually make you feel much better about project management. And hopefully I can convince you and change your mind about giving up before you look back and realize, man, I regret giving up on this thing called project management. This episode is not for everyone. This episode is dedicated to those that are really interested in the craft or already in the craft of project management and are at that breaking point of, hey, I just want to leave. So let's get into the content, and I won't even talk anymore except unpacking these points for you guys. All right. Point number one, managing emotional exhaustion. I call this the savior complex. I felt guilty of it. Even today, I'll fall guilty to it. But I realize how to, when I see I'm doing more than I'm supposed to, and let me clarify more than what I'm supposed to. What I mean by that is that I am not taking a collaborative approach. I am taking an individual silo approach to solving problems. Let's unpack the explanation. Constantly feeling responsible for every aspect of the project's success can lead to emotional exhaustion, especially when taking on problems that others should solve. The savior complex not only drains your energy, but prevents team members from growing into problem solvers themselves. We want to create more of us with regards to problem solving. our job, yes, the foundation of our job is to be problem solvers. However, it should be a collaborative approach, like I stated earlier. Here's my actionable advice for you. Delegate with confidence. Start trusting your team to handle problems on their own. Establish clear rules and responsibility to ensure tasks are appropriately assigned. Set realistic boundaries. Define what is and is and it is not your responsibility, and use that magic word that I know a lot of project managers are afraid of saying, no. But when it's necessary, though, of course, and adapt a mentorship approach. Guide your team towards self-sufficient rather than solving problems for them, and provide them support, but let them navigate challenges independently. Point number two, you knew this was coming. Find a project management mentor. I call this guidance for professional growth. Why wouldn't you want to work with someone that has probably already been, well, not probably, has been where you're trying to go or want to go in life, and finding and helping you see around those corners or those obstacles? See, a mentor can offer you invaluable advice, support, and insight based on their experience in the field. Whether you're looking to refine your skills, navigate career challenges, or just explore new opportunities, having a seasoned project manager mentor provides both my two favorite words is accountability and direction. Here's my actionable advice. If you've made it here to number two, I have a special announcement, and I didn't really want to do this. I had someone reach out to me. I'm going to tell you a quick story about this. I had someone reach out to me in the comments and say, hey, I would really love a place for us to congregate and talk about project management things and have conversations. And I launched this type of community before. It was a free community, the Magnetic PM community. And I only had like one or two people sign up. And I was like, hey, I don't want to foot the bill for somebody that, for people that don't want to, you know, be part of like-minded individuals. I really thought it was going to be, I thought it was just going to blow up and be so successful because there are so many people that are either looking to make a transition into project management or are current project managers and are just, you know, have questions. And it just think of a community approach of where everyone is giving them consultation, just not me, just everyone in that group. So I said, okay, when I started doing my homework for this, for today's episode, I realized I have to do it. I can't keep waiting. So I will be giving out a formal announcement, but for now, I want to let you know, yes, this is actually happening. And I will have a paid community, well, more of a paid mentorship where we will work one-on-one together. It will be a customized approach. And reason why I want to do that, because I also see there's a need for, hey, I want to get into project management and I'm going to take this certification and that certification. And I'm like, okay, that's great. But we need to find out how to get you real world experience while you're getting these certifications. So I say all that to say, yes, that was a shameless plug. First of all, you know, I'm transparent with you, but it's definitely going to be something that I've been receiving messages about, and it's just not in YouTube, just in general of, hey, we want somewhere where we can congregate and have a conversation. I'm footing the bill for the free community, but you will have to pay for that one-on-one. I know there's some people out there that need that service, and I want to make sure I set them up for success. All right, next item. Identify potential mentors looking for experienced project managers. Outside of your organization, most of the time people will tell you to look inside. No. I do say that I would recommend that you look outside the organization because they will have a non-biased approach, and this will help you understand, hey, how do I move? What would my career goals look? And then I would also recommend getting someone inside, but not a project manager. I would maybe look at someone that's maybe in your department or even outside of your department that could assist and guide you. And once you get this mentor and you initiate the relationship, reach out for clear intention, whether seeking advice on career progression, industry challenges, or specific skills you want to develop. One of the things I hate, I shouldn't use the word hate, one of the challenges that I've had in mentorship and coaching other people is there's no clear intention. It's like, do you want to get in project management or do you not? Do you want to go after the CAPM or the PMP or whatever. And so I've realized that it's very important that you have a clear intention. If you don't have a clear intention, just be upfront and say, I don't know what I want to do. Can we work through this instead of making it seem like you want to go, towards a specific direction? It makes our relationship much better. Okay, let me move on. Point number three, misalignment between work and passion, reevaluating burnout. Burnout often stems from a deeper dissatisfaction, whether this work itself or something that's happening in our personal life. Sometimes, family, what's happening in our personal life, if we're not careful and we're not managing it, it can pour into our actual professional life. And that can be a burden because you're thinking about home while you're at work. And now when you're at home, now you're thinking about work. And so you have to find a way to create a balance. So if the tasks, projects, or industries no longer inspire you, burnout of a symptom as far as there's a misalignment rather than feeling just overworked. Here's my actionable advice. Identify the source of a burnout. Sit down, family. Reflect on the aspect of your roles and find out where your energy is actually being drained and where are you excited at. What do you get excited about during the job? Now, I will be honest with you. There's parts of the job you're not going to like. But what are the parts that you do like and you're willing to negotiate to say, hey, I don't like these other aspects of it, but you know what? There's a greater upside on the things I do like. And then find out what's the industry, the project, or the day-to-day responsibilities that you would like to have. Seek new challenges, ask for different types of projects, or consider a lateral move within the organization to rekindle your interest in the work. And most of all, family, engage in self-care. Prioritize your mental health and physical well-being by maintaining. I'm careful when I say this because there's not a really such thing as work-life balance. So I want to be careful when I say that. When I mean work-life balance, I mean when you are at work, be at work. When you are at home, you're at home, but there are going to be moments that these two are going to collide and have the balance to be able to navigate it effectively. I hope I said that properly. Practice mindfulness like meditation and seek professional support. Point number four, message. Anytime I say message, if you're new to the episode, this is a point you want to pay attention to. You want to lock in and understand at a deeper level. Letting go of fixed expectation. Have to share a story with you, family. So this is going to be a long episode, whether you like it or not, but this is something you're going to be able to play back over and over again. This is one of these episodes that you're going to come back to and say, when you actually have these issues and say, oh man, I remember ED did this episode on exactly. So when you, especially when you get your CAPM or your PMP, or you come from another organization that they've done things a certain way that was more by PMBOK standards, you have a tendency to hold on to that rigid expectation. And you start getting frustrated because you're like, why are they leading projects through an Excel sheet? Or why they're not using Microsoft Project? Why they're not using some type of tool or software? And you're trying to push how it should be, but you have to understand, family, you have to be adaptable and adapt to accept certain situations as they unfold. Because if you don't, I'm telling you, you're going to get irritated. You're going to get irritated to the point where you're going to start having an attitude that's going to disrupt all the goodwill that you've done. So here's my actionable advice. Reframe challenges as opportunities. Shift your mindset from frustration over deviations to embracing flexibility. The more flexible you are in this role as a project manager, you will start looking at these as a change for an opportunity to innovate. You know, you can also look at it as, hey, if you make the decision, hey, I'm not going to be at this organization no much longer, you can look at, okay, what am I learning? What am I learning that I can make sure that I can transition into another organization and build off of? All right, next one. Focus on the big picture. Keep your eye on the long-term goals and avoid getting bogged down by the short-term disruption. There are going to be a lot of short-term disruption, whether from stakeholders, whether from how processes and procedures automatically change and you want to aware of it. Adjust plans as needed. Recognize that project plans are not set in stone. Adjust your strategies as new information emerges, ensuring you keep an agile mindset to your approach. Family, we have to keep, as project managers, keep an agile mindset, because there's going to be consistent changes and you have to be willing to embrace those changes. And most of all, I wasn't even thinking of this, but now I'll always say this when you're speaking to an audience, know where your audience is at and be willing to meet them there. And then you bring them up with you where you know that you're, how the expectations are. But until then, you have to meet them where they're at. You have to work to build that trust and that confidence with them. And once you build that trust, now you're introduced and say, hey, I know we've been leading projects through Excel. Would anybody be open to using Microsoft Project? Or let me show you what it would look like, how it would be easier. Or Smartsheets where it will automatically email you if you owe a task instead of me having to do it and you having to remember. So there's ways to go about doing this, but getting frustrated. I know I've been there. I'm not telling you something that I've read. This is my life. I lived this where I was so frustrated that I was about the expectations of an organization. I'm like, how are you guys not using this and doing this? Until somebody pulled me aside and said, hey, this is where they're at. This is why they brought you on. What are you going to do about it? Don't be a victim. Be a victor by saying, okay, this is where they're at. Let me slowly introduce in increments ways to make it better. And if they reject it, okay, I'll come back a month later, or 2 months later, or 3 months. So think of it that way, family. Let's move on to the next item. Point number five, exploring new horizons in project management. Pursuing a role in a different industry or organization. When you're in a current industry or organization that no longer aligns with your career aspirations, hey, maybe you burned out. Maybe you're tired of being in a certain industry. Maybe you're tired of being in construction and you want to get into IT. Maybe you're tired of being IT and you want to get into cybersecurity. One thing I love about project management, this is a transferable skill. Yep, you're going to have to learn the new language and the new conversation in a sense of whatever industry that you're in. But project management across the board is the same, the triple constraints: time, cost, scope, and quality. That is going to be applied to every project. Every project is going to have one or all of those elements involved in it. So this is a seamless transition into a different field. So don't hold yourself hostage in that field. Look, I've been in financing. I've been in cybersecurity. I've had an opportunity to experience different industries, and it's helped me grow my project management, I should say knowledge, because I'm getting a chance to understand different industries. So don't just box yourself into one industry. Here's my actionable advice. Research new industries. Identify industries that interest you and align with your values. Investigate how your PM skills can apply to different sectors. Next one, network strategically. Reach out to professionals in your target industries to learn about their experience. Let me park there parenthetically, family. This is one of the things I used to do. I used to do it internally, though, not externally, where if there was something I was interested in, let's say I was interested in cybersecurity and I'm working in infrastructure, IT, I would ask them, hey, do you mind if I set up some time with you just to go over some things I'm kind of interested in, you know, learning more about that industry of cybersecurity or something of that. And they get people that are really passionate about what they do. They would love to sit down with you, but don't waste their time. Come there prepared. Come there ready to ask questions. Maybe send the questions ahead of time to them so they can know what you're coming there. Set up an agenda. Make it professional, because their time, we know the most valuable asset is time. So I used to use that trick a lot. I mean, if I was interested in a department and want to know, I will set up some time to meet with some people. Last and final one. Tailor your resume. Customize your resume and LinkedIn profile to highlight skills that are relevant to that new industry or organization that you're targeting. And I know what people will say. Well, that's all I've done all my life is construction. Well, how did you get into construction? Or all I've done is IT. Well, how did you get into IT? You had to start from somewhere. So if you're willing to make that adjustment, if you're willing to make that sacrifice to learn all over again, then make the jump, make the leap. All right, point number six, Fostering sustainable team development. Mastering the art of teaching and learning with grace. You know, I get it. Professional resources were hired to support you, and you realize that it's going to take more time out your already busy schedule to coach and mentor them. I can even think even deeper than that, where you're thinking, well, you know, I'm trying to use the analogy of, you know, teaching people how to fish. Well, if they don't know how to put the bait on the line, it doesn't matter how much you taught them, because you may have to start with, you know, with the foundational principles first. And you have to be, you have to even go back and look in your own career. Did you learn how to right away, how to lead a project effectively? Yeah, I know some people are going to say, well, yeah, you know, I came out together, I was doing exceptionally well. That's not true, because you made some mistakes along the way. And I know what you're thinking too. You're saying, well, I had to learn the hard way. But because you had to learn the hard way, do you think it's fair for somebody else to learn the hard way? No. So if you're really, because as a project manager, you are a servant leader. You're a leader. What do leaders do? Leaders, according to John Maxwell, they influence and inspire. So if you're about influencing and inspiring, you should be wanting to help them. Now, I'm not saying coddle or hold their hands, but there's an approach to ensuring that they have an opportunity to succeed. And I really believe that teaching others self-reliant requires grace. It requires a lot of grace and most of all, empathy and how to guide them through their learning journey. Here's my actionable advice. Be patient and supportive. I know that's hard because family, I've coached and trained, and there's moments that you like, how are you not getting this? This is, and then I have to dial back and say, maybe it's not them, it's me. I'm the one that's teaching them this information. So what do I need to do better? And you need to start asking those questions. Understand the mistakes and setbacks are part of the learning process. Encourage a growth mindset and celebrate progress, however incremental. Next point, prioritize customized support. Again, family, everybody doesn't learn the same way. With me, I'm somebody that needs to hear it and have a visual. Other people, they can hear the information and they don't need anything, but I don't learn that way. I'm so analytical. I have to be able to connect the dots in a way that works well for me. And so you can tell me something versus sending me an email and we talking about it. Boom, I got it. But other people are not like that. So recognize how you need to customize your support so you can make sure because just think about this. Once you get them to a level where they can be on their own, or as you say, fit, you know, they can basically fish for themselves. Now that frees up time for other things that you could be doing, where all of these urgencies and fires, now you can start spreading this equally. Now everybody's going to get a piece of this. So you're not feeling stressed out. And I'm serious, because I used to have the mentality, family, where I would be like, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, and so I don't fault people who say that, because I've said, I'm like, well, hey, people need to go ahead and make the mistakes and learn on their own. Yeah, that's true. But you also need to be there for the support aspect of things. You need to allow them to make the mistake. But the biggest thing is being there when they make the mistakes to show them, hey, let me guide you and show you what you did wrong there. I know I spent a little bit more time on that, but that's because when you are having to coach and train other people to help support you, you have to understand that everybody doesn't learn the same way and everybody doesn't have the same urgency that you do, even though they should. All right. Focus on long-term growth. Shift your attention from quick fixes to developing the team's capability over time. Teach them principles of problem solving rather than providing the solution. Point number 7, redefining career fulfillment. You need to clarify your long-term professional goals. When you lose passion for this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, it may be an indicator that your career goals have shifted. So clarify what truly fulfills you as a professional, essentially, before making that drastic decision of walking away from this profession. You may realize something different. Here's my actionable advice. Conduct this self-assessment test. There are so many different self-assessment. How I even found out about project management, besides me asking a question and of what someone did at a recent employer that I worked at. When I say recent, meaning when I first got into project management. And then also my mentor sending me this, I think it was Myers-Briggs or so, I forgot what self-assessment it was. And they said, hey, based on your assessment, these are the positions you might want to look at. CEO, project manager, marketing. I was like, oh, I kind of like all of these. Let me go. And I went and experimented. So are you more interested in strategies, operation, or people management? Do that self-assessment, family. Take time to really reflect. Set clear career milestones. Define achievable goals based on your newly identified interests and passion. And then most of all, seek feedback from mentors. Again, I'm always leaning on mentorship and coaching. Engage with your mentor to gain insight into how you can align your career trajectory with strength and evolving interests. Point number 8, preserving professional reputation. Family, this is big. This is so huge. Never burning bridges. You know, one of the things is, as a project manager, your reputation is not only just built on the projects you deliver, but also the relationships you maintain. You never know in an organization that where you were working in that person that may have been the director or senior director goes somewhere else and thinks, hey, and they need a new project manager. They're like, hey, I remember working with John and let me see if I can get him to come over here and work with us. So exiting a project or a role gracefully, no matter the circumstances. And this preserves your professional reputation and leaves the door open, like I said, for future opportunity. Here's my actionable advice. Be gracious in all situations. Now, I will be honest with you. It's tough. I'm not going to lie to you. It is tough, especially when you face challenges, especially when you've been disrespected, especially when you have uncooperative stakeholders or project team members. But maintain your professionalism and express your appreciation for the collaboration and support from others. I'm telling you, that's going to go much further than you just doing something that you're going to look back and regret. Offer assistance during transition of leaving a project. Help ensure a smooth transition by providing document processes, offering to train your replacement, or even providing key insights to your team. Stay positive and constructive. Avoid speaking negatively about colleagues, projects, or organization when exiting, and focus on instead of the lessons learned and what and the positive takeaways. Family, as long as I've been doing these episodes, you never once heard me talk a negative about any organization I've ever worked at. You know why? Because I realized it took some time, but I realized that those were learning opportunities. Those were bridges for me. If this stakeholder wouldn't have done X, Y, and Z to me, I may have never went to another different organization or went and dug deeper into my skill set or went and got another certification or went and paid additional money for a mentor or coach, because I needed to learn what I was doing wrong and how can I get better. So again, look at these as positive takeaways and put a spin on it. And my bonus for you today is dealing with fire drill symptoms or managing urgency without panic. One of the things you have to understand is you have to understand that the urgencies are always going to be there. The delays, and you more or less need to know, what do I need to do first? What's second, third, and fourth? And prioritize as a do first, delay, delegate, and don't do. I also want to talk about maintaining a mindset that allows you to be able to know that urgencies and fire drills are going to consistently come. Here's my 3 transformational recommendations, and I threw in an extra one for you, family, because I know this is a sensitive topic, and it's sensitive to me because I really want more people to get into project management, and I really want people that are already in project management to stay. So, number 1, managing emotional exhaustion, the savior complex. Again, guide your team towards self-sufficiency rather than solving problems for them. Provide support, but let them navigate changes independently. Number 2, find a project manager mentor, guidance for professional growth. Like I said, I'm launching a community as well as a paid mentorship and coaching program that you guys will be able to check out. The free community, I'll put something out to explain more about that, how that's going to work, because I really want to be around like-minded individuals. I don't want to be around individuals who come in and they have a motive that is not looking to provide value. I'm looking for those value adders. And then also look for project managers outside of your organization, professional networks, industry association, who have a track record of success and are aligned goals. And the third one, misalignment between work and passion, reevaluating your burnout. Identify the source of burnout. Reflect on what aspects of your role drain your energy and excitement. Is it industry? Is it the project? Or maybe it's the day-to-day responsibilities. And the last and final point, preserving professional reputation. Never burn bridges, family. Stay positive and constructive. And avoid speaking negatively about colleagues, projects, or organization when exiting. Focus on what you can learn from the opportunity. Focus on how that can push you and grow as a project manager. Well, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. This episode was really to help people that are maybe on the fence of walking away from this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management. And those that are in a transition, whether they're getting their CAPM, PMP, or ACP, whatever certification, Google certification, whatever that is, to understand that there will be moments, just like in anything in life, there will be moments. But my challenge to you is, how are you going to respond? And what are you going to do about it? Are you going to be a victim and say, oh, there's nothing I can do? Or are you going to take today's episode and take at least one or two nuggets and say, okay, you know what? I know I can do that. I can sit back and reevaluate my situation and find out, is there something, and is there another organization or industry that I could go into to grow and still be able to use? Because project management is a transferable skill. Well, I won't leave you. I won't talk anymore, family. I go by the name of ED for you smart and intelligent folks out there. Listen, that just simply means it. Until next time, I'm out.